Good day, old chap.
Hello, sir.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
It has been a highly eventful past few weeks.
Really?
Yeah. Really? Yeah, really. So just to update listeners real quick, because I know there are a lot of people who listen to the show who actually were probably expecting a show to come out today, and it didn't, and that's here's
today
the reason
being
why.
The Tuesday,
today
the
being
13th.
The Tuesday, the 13th that yeah. we record. But this is actually airing on Thursday. Basically, what happened was this. So I was on vacation to New Orleans for Mardi Gras. I mentioned that on a previous episode. At the beginning of the, of February here. Mm-hmm. And was there for 10 days. It was great. Had a fantastic time. Came back. And was back for maybe about a week. And then last Monday, I got a call. My dad had been suffering some issues, and they thought it might be related to his heart, but they weren't sure. Well, he had gone on in that Monday, and sure enough, they decided to admit him to the hospital for congestive heart failure. Now, congestive heart failure is it's more a condition than a thing, right? There's a thing that causes the condition. And so the reason that they needed to admit him into the hospital was not just simply because his heart was failing to work properly, or even close to properly, but also to try to determine if, in fact, there was another thing that had caused that condition. Mm-hmm. And if they needed to fix that thing in order to fix the condition. Does that make
sense?
It's
not the thing. Something causes that thing.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, right.
And so I hopped on a plane, first flight out, and flew out to Washington, D.C. It should surprise nobody that based on discussions on previous episodes that I was able to do that in about 15 minutes.
Because you packed like a mofo.
It's
probably the best way to say it.
Yep, and I had no idea how long I was going to be there, but I was able to pack everything I needed into my small, gently used GoRuck, Radio Ruck pack, which is fan-freaking-tastic.
Show
I
notes.
Just got it a couple of days before, and yes, I'll link to it in the show notes. But I packed everything I needed in there and had plenty of room to spare. And this is not a big pack. This is a, smallish pack.
Okay.
It's just how I roll, what can I say? And also had my iPad and my MacBook Air packed in there, too. All traveled just no problem in this backpack. So, ran out there indeterminate length of time for the trip. Ended up being out there through Saturday morning. This past Saturday morning, and
yep.
Now I'm back. My dad, at least there's a clear treatment plan ahead. There was no real reason for the heart failure other than it's just failing. And I think they call that idiosomatic or something like that. But
idiosyncratic.
Basically, idiosyncratic, I have no idea. Basically, it's a Latin word that means we don't know what the F is going on. So, diet, drugs, and exercise for the next 40 to 60 days. See if they can improve the condition through there. And if not, well, then they've got other means at their disposal, and we'll cross that bridge when it comes.
But all of this does link in quite well to something that you wrote.
Yes.
And that we wanted to discuss a bit today.
Yeah. Yes, it does. And that is about how, despite the fact that here in this backpack, which I had literally by my side pretty much the entire trip. I mean, this backpack, except for the times when I needed to, leave the hotel room or not hotel. I'm sorry, the hospital room to get lunch or whatever. This backpack was most of the time about, no more than, say, 30 feet away from me. And all contained my MacBook Air and my iPad. Despite that fact, and I should mention, both the hospitals we were in, we actually went to two hospitals because the first hospital he was in didn't have a specific MRI machine that they needed, so they transferred him to another hospital. In the first hospital, the guest Wi-Fi that they had there, because we've reached an age where even hospitals have Wi-Fi, which is awesome. Their guest Wi-Fi was great and fast and reliable, and you know, you could log on easily through their little log-on page, and everything was great. Full access, nothing was blocked, that sort of thing. It was really nice. But then they moved him to this other hospital, and the Wi-Fi was unreliable. The login page didn't always log you in, and even when you did get logged in, you know, things were relatively slow, and they had a firewall that was blocking things like social networking. Because they didn't want their employees to be on Twitter or Facebook or anything like that.
Makes sense. That makes sense,
but being that this was the guest Wi-Fi...
Have two different...
I mean, they did. I mean, they did have I guess the bottom line is, what they were trying to prevent was from their employees knowing that Twitter and Facebook were blocked on the internal Wi-Fi and the protected Wi-Fi from jumping over to the guest Wi-Fi and just getting on there.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand their reasoning behind it, but still... What a pain in this day and age for patients who, for many of which I would imagine, especially of that age group, you know, Facebook might be a kind of, you know...
An important means of communication.
An important means to them, that may be the internet, right?
It is the internet.
It is the internet for a lot of folks who are over 50, you know, and don't know much about computers. Because they're, you know, their sons or daughters or grandsons or granddaughters gets them this iPad or other computer and says, here, let's set up a Facebook account so you can talk to all of your friends, and that's all they show them, right? And yep. Then they don't have to do anything else. So, you know, the browser is actually called Facebook. And when it's not called Facebook, it's called Google. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so in any case, I digress. Bottom line is I found it very limiting. So the iPhone became my most used computer. It was right there. It was in my pocket. I never put it on the Wi-Fi. I always kept it on the 3G. In fact, in the hospital, I turned off the Wi-Fi on my iPhone and just had it connect through 3G. Had a constant, reliable internet connection.
Mm-hmm.
And fast, way faster than if I would have hooked up the iPad or the MacBook to the Wi-Fi, just simply because of the speed of their network connection. And got everything done I needed to get done. I booked hotels on that using the Priceline app. I booked my flight home using HipMunk. You know, just whipped off my credit card and plugged it right there on my iPhone, and boom. Had my flight confirmed, had the receipt emailed to me, whole nine yards.
So this is the interesting thing. So in the Apple presentation a couple of weeks ago for the new iPad, on stage, Tim Cook categorized post PC devices as being iOS devices, not just the iPad, like I think most people say. You know, they say the iPad is the post PC computer, the iPad is the post PC computer.
Yeah.
But what you and Mr. Cook are arguing together is that, in fact,
The iPhone
is also
touch.
One.
Yeah, all of those can be, because I can get anything I need to get done personally done on my iPhone.
See,
I didn't even need my iPad or my MacBook Air.
See, now I'm inclined to agree, right? But with a caveat. So I could do pretty much anything on one of my iOS devices that I can on my MacBook Air, pretty much. But it may be either A, more difficult, or B, not as high quality. So, for example, I could create a podcast using my iPad, but it would just be me. Right? There is currently no way at the moment to record a podcast directly on one device, one iOS device, with just one person. I mean, you can, there is equipment you can buy to link like more than one device together, and you can try and do it that way. But as I say, so that I can make a podcast, I can do and in GarageBand, but then I also can't publish it, right? In the regular fashion, I can't use any of my hosts. I'd have to use like a service like Audioboo or something. Which would publish it for me. So, see what I'm saying? Like, yes, I can do everything on the iOS device. However, it may not be as simple or as higher quality. But if we look back to the original iPhone, that has improved like vastly since then. So, I do also expect that within, you know, maybe iOS 7, iOS 8, or something like that, that I will be able to do many of these things as well, you know, as well as I can do them using the MacBook Air. Because the platform is so advanced, really. It's a very, very advanced platform that I only see really it to continue to excel. But so I'm saying, like, for the regular everyday stuff, like the things that you all mentioned. Easily. I mean, sometimes easier to do them using the iOS device than using the Mac.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the thing, right? Is a question of there are going to be some tasks that are easier to do or more preferable to do on another device. For some people. I mean, I get challenged about this all the time about, you know, why would you write a 1,000-word essay on your iPhone when you've got your Mac sitting right there close by? Why would you? And for me, while certainly I might be able to do it a bit faster by typing it out and looking at a large screen, I actually find myself just as fast with my thumbs in landscape, you know, kind of laying, you know, sitting back on the couch with my thumbs, typing something out on my phone. I never thought I would say that, right? I never thought I'd become, like, I thought that was something that was just for teenagers, right? Like, teenagers could text at that speed, but us old guys would never be able to do that, right? As a matter of fact, I remember specifically, I've got a friend, Lindsay Gish, and and I were at a conference once, a little local Twin Cities conference-y sort of thing, and I saw her kind of sitting in the back with her iPhone in landscape mode, you know, and her thumbs just taking notes and just flying, absolutely flying. And afterwards I was like, oh my gosh, Lindsay, I'm so jealous of you. I wish I could do that. I'll never be able to do that. You know, it must be something only you young kids can do, you know, joking around with her. And I'm like, how do you do that? She's like, I'm just used to it, I guess. You know, I was like, okay, you know.
See, I can't use landscape mode very well at all, but I can type fast in portrait. Like, I am fast on iOS, and I can, you know, I can even type to an extent without looking. I am a better touch typer on iOS than I am on a keyboard.
Well, and I think that's kind of where I'm at. I wouldn't say I'm better, but I would say I'm very close to equal. And I wonder how much my writing my book on the iPad really helped with that.
Oh, definitely.
I think it helped greatly, right?
Because you became more accustomed to using this sort of device. You didn't see it as a limitation. You saw it as the tool. You know, I mean, initially you kind of were limiting yourself as an experiment, but you know, the fact that you stuck to it meant that it wasn't a limitation, because if it was you know, if you saw it throughout the whole time of writing the book, like it was a limitation, then you wouldn't have, you know, you wouldn't have continued to use it. You wouldn't have kept doing that. That would have just been crazy for you to do that.
Oh, I think that's a very interesting point you bring up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've discussed this a little bit here and there before, if my memory serves correctly, but this idea that oftentimes limitations only exist when we acknowledge them.
Right, yeah.
That if instead of approaching something as a limitation or approaching something as this is not as good as or this is not the same as, but approaching it instead as this is what I have,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to work with it.
Yeah.
Huge difference.
Like,
right?
Look at distraction-free writing environments, right?
Mm.
You know, they are limitations. Like, mm-hmm. you are limiting the functionality, but you know, people will swear blind that they write so much better in these apps, you know? If you're taking away all of the functions and just giving yourself the blinking cursor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's what works for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So sure. That is like a self-imposed limitation, which helps productivity.
Well, and I think that... once again, it's about this is what I have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the tool that I'm using, and this, you know, here's the features that exist within it. So here's what I've got to work with, and so I'm going to work with this. And that idea that I really appreciate and really think there's something to. And what if we brought that to the rest of our life, right? Instead of lamenting the things that we don't have, we simply acknowledge what we have and what we have to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When we go to our kitchen cupboard to try to figure out what to make for dinner, instead of lamenting that we don't have this or we don't have that or we don't have the other thing, and so thus we can't make dinner, why not look at what you have and say, what can I make out of this?
Yeah.
Same thing with everything in our lives. You know, when we approach our closets and say, I have nothing to wear. All the while looking at a shirt, a pair of pants, some underwear, and some socks. Well, that's what I have. And whether it be appropriate for the situation or whatnot, doesn't matter. This is what I have.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to do the best with what is in front of me right now.
It's enough, right?
It's enough, right? And I think that too often we focus instead on what we don't have and what's not there or what we need in order to get a job done, right?
Mm-hmm.
The reason that I use my iPhone to write a 1,000-word blog post is because it's here in my pocket. It's what I have to work with right now.
I mean, when you're writing those 1,000-word blog posts or anything, I assume you're not sitting in front of your MacBook Air when you're doing that, right?
No.
You know, you're not making that choice, because I'm sure that, face of the choice, the MacBook Air is still the best tool for this.
Yeah, no, but it's not far away either. It's one of these situations where, you know, most of the time when I'm at home, my MacBook Air, you know, sits on my desk in my office, which is up in our third floor loft space. What ends up happening with me is this. Oftentimes my writing brain kicks in just as I'm beginning to wake up.
Right.
And decides, okay, it's time to write now. Forget all of these other 50 things you have to do with getting Beatrix out the door for school and getting her lunch packed and making coffee for you and Bethany and da, da, da. Forget about all that. I want to write. And I'm like, but... No. You must write. We're writing right now. Let's go. I've got ideas. We got to get rid of them before you forget them, because I'll lose them. I'll lose them if you don't start. Okay. Phone comes out. Rough outline of ideas. Boom, 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 boom. Okay, fine. Writing. Is that enough writing break for now? Yeah, okay, I'll accept that for now. Okay, so I go and I do my thing and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and I get Beatrix out the door and kiss Bethany goodbye, and they run off, and then Writing Brain says, okay, we're ready to go now. Come on, come on, come on. Wait, I gotta go upstairs. No, don't go upstairs. You have a phone. You can do this. Just sit down and start writing. Okay. And so that's what I do.
Even though it's physically not very difficult for you to go upstairs, but it's still not the tool that's right in front of you, right? So it reminds me of that idea, the best camera is the one you have on you.
Is the one that's with you, right?
Yeah.
And also, I think it's even more than that. You know, there have been times when I've been, just as recently as Mardi Gras and being in New Orleans, I had my SLR with me. It was in my backpack. But if I needed to take a quick shot of the moment, especially with Beatrix, because, you know, kids don't stand still for long, I whipped out my iPhone to get that shot. Because otherwise I would have had to, take off my backpack, open it up, reach in, grab the SLR, turn it on, and shoot. And mm-hmm. by the time I did that, I could have 5 or 6 shots rattled off on my iPhone that were all perfect. So, I mean, even if you happen to have a better tool with you within near reach, oftentimes the best tool is the one that is fastest to capture a moment or to capture an idea. Especially for me, because I could cry a river of tears over the things that I've lost within 3 steps, i.e. within 3 physical walking steps. An idea comes into head. Oh my gosh, that's brilliant. 3 steps later, what was that again?
Yeah, I do that all the time. I'm really bad. Like, by the time it's taken me to sit down, pick up a post-it note and get my pen cap off, it's gone. It's completely gone. Right. There you go, gone. Right. That task will never come back to you. So let's hope it wasn't important.
And see, Writing Brain knows that. Writing Brain knows how I work, right? Mm-hmm. Writing Brain is completely attuned to because Writing Brain is a part of me, right? It's this other entity that lives inside of me and just takes over my head. And so it knows how my head works. And it knows that a trip upstairs is a potentially life-threatening thing for Writing Brain. Writing Brain may disappear and never return again if he has to walk upstairs. Yep. So Writing Brain forces Patrick here to take out his phone, sit on his ass, fire up plain text or some other, doesn't matter what it is, just whatever you can start capturing this idea as quickly as possible is, and start writing. And don't stop. Don't get up until you're done. And that's what I do. And so I will sit generally almost always in the couch in our library den sort of area. Lean back, feet up on the coffee table, in landscape with my thumbs, boom, 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 boom.
Mm-hmm.
And plant myself there until I am done. Come up an hour later and it's like, okay, let's post this. I mean, it really is kind of crazy. So, I mean, I guess the upshot of all of this is that, sure, there might be better tools than the iPad or the iPhone or the i-this or i-that. The Mac may be a better tool. But oftentimes, the tool that is best is not just about what's with you. It's, here's what I have right this second at my disposal. What can I make with this? What can I do with this?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes it the best choice. Because it's right there. In the same way that, in my case, the iPhone was almost always the best choice for a variety of reasons. But the biggest one being, it was right there. If a doctor came into the room and started spouting off some weird drug name or something like that, I could reach into my pocket and get it down. And that's really what it came down to.
So it's important.
Yeah.
So, but before we finish, while we've been recording, I have been putting some more thought into the podcasting thing, like on an iOS device, and it could actually be possible to do a double-ended by using like voice recording and Skype at the same time, if that could be possible. Like, I've not tested it, and then you could like send me your audio, and then I could put that together in GarageBand, maybe.
I mean, it's an interesting problem, if for no other reason than just, I don't know, maybe one day you might want that option for some reason. You may need that option for some reason.
Yep. I just hope that somebody creates an actual podcast application.
That sounds like a challenge.
Yeah.
It sounds like a good challenge.
I would love somebody to do it. I could make all my show notes and the whole shebang, everything. Oh, that'd be so good. I'll pay so much money for that. Anywho, so the next episode, we're going to be talking about something really cool. So
yeah. So make sure y'all tune in for the episode, which should come on, was that Tuesday the 20th?
Tuesday the 20th. I'm surprised you don't know that date by heart.
Oh, not yet, my friend. Not yet. I'm still in too much fog, but I will.
Okay. All right.
Well, thanks a lot, Mike. We'll talk later.
We will. Cheers.
Cheers.